We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All at the center of my eye and my mind and my heart.
That's beautiful. I mean, can I borrow that for my vows?
Yeah.
When I marry you.
Right.
Obviously.
Of course.
Welcome to The Holy Hour, a podcast about sex, relationships, mental health, and everything in between.
I'm Amelia Sanson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Holy Hour. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Amelia Sanson.
And I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Ball So Hard.
You can also watch us on YouTube or listen ad-free on Patreon at patreon.com/theholyhour.
Check out our merch at theholyhour.com and email us your spicy stories at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
Hi. Hey, Polly's here too. She's like, where's my
girls'
mic?
Room?
Girls' room. I was at Coachella this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so tired, so please bear with me this episode.
I'm pretty tapped, too.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Look at her.
You're such a noodle girl. I took a picture of her yesterday that she looks so fucking long in, and I've been looking at it all day and laughing. She looks like three times her length.
Mr. Liz stretched out Gatsby the other... He's always been a very long cat.
Yeah.
And he was like, I wonder how long he is, and he fully stretched him out. He is... I need to show you the picture. It looks like he caught a fish.
Oh my
like
God. He's
holding up a big fish.
That is so
such
funny.
Long ass cat.
That would be a really funny dating profile picture.
Well, he'll never use it. He'll never use them again.
No. So, okay. I was at Coachella this weekend. Yeah. Saw Sabrina Carpenter, whom I have talked about in great length on this podcast. They say not to meet your heroes. I didn't meet her. But I was breathing the same air as her. And it grew my love for her.
Did it change your brain chemistry?
It did. You know what did change my brain chemistry was seeing Gwen Stefani.
Wait, she was there?
Yeah, No Doubt was there.
Oh.
It was...
I don't know anything.
Unfucking believable. She was running across the stage like the whole time and like climbing scaffolding and shit. And then Just a Girl was their last song and she did push-ups on stage before the song and then just belted it. I'm like, bitch. God has favorites.
She had to have done blow before that. I'm just like, there's no fucking way.
Dude, do you know who Lil Uzi Vert is?
Yeah, more or less.
He was there, and that dude, there's no way that he didn't just do like a shit ton of cocaine before coming on stage. I've never seen anybody dance like that in my life. It's truly amazing. And if these people aren't doing cocaine, then they sold their soul to the devil.
Because where do you get all of that talent and energy?
It was exhausting watching it. So I can't imagine being up there. But yes, okay. So I had a thought. Have you heard Olivia Rodrigo's new song, Obsessed?
No.
Okay. It's called Obsessed, if you didn't gather that by the setup of that question. And it's about her being obsessed with her boyfriend's ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
And it is the most relatable lyrics ever. I'm gonna look some up.
Is it like Becky So Hot?
What's that?
Oh, you sent me that song,
Becky So Hot,
by I think it's by JAX, and she's talking about her girlfriend's or her ex-girlfriend's new girlfriend. Never mind.
Oh,
she's like, she wrote the song because she accidentally liked a picture of her ex-girlfriend's new girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then wrote a song about like, yeah, she's really hot.
Yes.
So I get it.
Yes. Oh my God, I completely forget. Isn't that Fletcher?
Oh, that's what it is. It's Fletcher.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, dude, yeah. I fucking love that song. It's so good.
Jax has the Victoria's Secret song, which is a little corny, but I love it.
I love it. It's so catchy.
Yeah.
I love Victoria's Secret.
And I'm like, she's right.
Yeah. What the fuck is going on here? I'm in an incognito window because I'm using my work computer and I'm concerned about looking up sex news from my work computer. So anyway, everything's kind of a little backward.
At this point, I don't know. I don't think that'll make a difference. I think IT can still see. But also the amount of people who probably watch porn on their work computer.
That's so true. You know? My ex did that.
Watch porn on his work computer?
Yeah. And
what
I was like,
fuck?
Do you not? Are you not nervous about that? He's like, oh, should I be?
Yes, you idiot.
Yeah.
My therapist, we were talking about porn addiction and she was like, yeah, I know people who, they weren't her clients.
Right.
She just like knows people who they were so addicted to porn. They just had it like up on their work computer while they're like on a call.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Just like working with porn on the screen. Like it's every day.
Like it's just like YouTube videos just running in the background.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I don't
to think about.
I like do not. I guess I don't fully understand that.
No,
like that level.
No, I mean it's hard to fathom.
I wonder if it's like the equivalent of like, you know, when people have the Minecraft videos in the background of a story.
I was just about like to say that, but I couldn't explain what I was trying to say. But that's exactly what it's like.
Like maybe I need to do that on calls. Have like a Minecraft like video
or porn. Playing.
Yeah, a Minecraft video while I'm watching porn, actually. So I can pay attention to the porn.
Okay, here are some of the lyrics. It's always so weird speaking lyrics out loud. I feel like I'm like doing an open mic slam poetry moment.
Oh, I actually had to do that in high school theater class.
Read lyrics.
We had to pick a song and act it out. Like read it like a monologue.
That's so.
And I picked You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. I was like 15. I was like,
I'm here.
Girl, you don't know anything.
To remind you of the mess you left
when you went away. It's not fair. No, I didn't. I wasn't crying. I was angry.
You deny me.
But I also took the parts out that referred to sex.
Yeah, of course.
So I was like, well, I'm a child, so.
I've
never had sex.
In my theater class, we had to act out a scene from like a pivotal moment in our lives and not speak but use a song as the background to tell the story and then just like pantomime it.
That's crazy.
And I did High and Dry by Radiohead and it was about my dog dying.
Oh. Well, I mean, like, that's such a serious thing. Like, what are you children have experienced some trauma and you're asking them to act it out,
right?
You don't
let's
know
hash
what
it
these
out.
Kids are gonna show you.
Let's
and
hash
tell
out to
you.
Some like 2008 MySpace music.
Maybe they were doing it as an exercise to make sure like all of the kids in their class are like okay.
Yeah maybe.
But
also
that's
I want
still so like public.
I want to specify because I'm sure somebody's going to hear what I just said and say Radiohead is not 2008 MySpace music. I know it's not. Okay,
I mean if it was for you then. Like, if you had it on your MySpace, then it is for you.
Dude, speaking of which, I saw Taking Back Sunday at Coachella. Do you know Taking Back Sunday?
Do I know Taking
okay,
Back Sunday?
Okay, a lot of people didn't.
Duh.
A lot of people didn't. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Cornerstone of my personality.
Dude, and they did Make Damn Sure and Cute Without the E at the end, and I have never felt more full circle in my life.
Yeah, Cute Without the E, for sure, on my MySpace.
Oh, me too. Mm-hmm. I feel. Oh my God, what a moment. They're old dudes now, and they're making new music.
Okay,
I'm like, nobody,
I love that.
Nobody's here to hear your new music. You know what I mean? But anyway, good for them.
They need a hobby.
Yeah, I'm happy for
old
them.
Old guys need hobbies. Read these lyrics.
Okay.
Hit me.
She says, if I told you how much I think about her, you'd think I was in love. And if you knew how much I looked at her pictures, you would think we're best friends. Because I know her star sign. I know her blood type. I've seen every movie she's been in. And oh God, she's beautiful. And I know you loved her. And I know I'm butthurt. But I can't help it. I'm so obsessed with your ex. And the first time I heard this song, I was like, I was thinking, this is the most relatable shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, you become so obsessed with people that your partner has dated that you know just like such intricate detail. Like,
them.
Her blood type is such a funny line.
I mean, it's obviously facetious.
Of course.
If for those of you who take everything literally.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's just,
I don't
yeah,
even know
like,
my own blood type.
Being so into, like, the lore,
yeah,
that you're like learning everything about this person because you're like then you start comparing yourself to them.
Yes, yeah. And whereas, it becomes an obsession and like you know, in my younger years in a very, very unhealthy way. And she's 21. So mm-hmm. like
that was kind of, that's the age.
Yeah. And that was also when I was like kind of exiting out of that phase, but it was still peak. It was still at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
I went from it peaking to it not existing. I don't think we've ever talked about that whole phenomenon of being obsessed with your partner's ex
mm-hmm.
or people that your partner have dated in the past. And it's something that everybody, at least everyone that I've talked to, has experienced.
Yeah, in some capacity. Yeah, for
like,
sure.
My boyfriend's ex-girlfriend is so pretty, or like, I wonder if he still like thinks about her or talks about her. And but it's very like taboo to bring up because it feels crazy. But it's something everybody experiences.
There was like, I get, when I think about it, I'm like, who have I been like the most like obsessed with checking on? And I actually think it wasn't, it's like a weird kind of obsession where you're not like, you don't hate her or anything.
Right.
It's more just like, well, now I'm so invested in figuring out like why they wanted to date you. Like, why were they with you? Why didn't it work out? Like,
right. That's the thing.
All of these
things. Why'd you break up? Did she dump you or did you dump her? Mm-hmm. Do you still want to be with her? It like turns into a spiral.
Are you trying to turn me into her?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Dude. Yeah, me too.
Like, why are you trying to turn me into your ex? But the person, when I think about like, who did I like, was I the most like nervous about or whatever? And it wasn't my ex's ex per se. It was someone he cheated on his ex with.
Oh. Yeah.
And we looked alike.
Oh.
And I started out by being like, oh my God, yeah, I'm definitely cuter than her. To being like, no, she's like so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but she was also kind of unhinged.
Oh. But some guys like that, so that doesn't help at all.
He definitely likes that because he needs drama mm-hmm. in his life.
Yeah, and if he doesn't have it, then he'll create it.
Yeah, his mom's dramatic, so.
Oh, that tracks.
And
they know, really do
you know.
Just want to date their moms at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to see it. I feel like the people that I was the most obsessed with when I was at my lowest weren't like my ex's exes. It was like girls that I thought my ex would be into
mm-hmm.
that I would like see around campus, because I would like pick up on him like maybe having a crush on someone, and then every girl that I saw that like was kind of like that, I'd be like, he probably wants to date her.
I bet he wants to fuck that girl.
Yeah, or it was like similar to the people that he cheated on me with mm-hmm. which is fair, but I became so obsessed with them.
Yeah,
and it's such an ugly feeling.
And then
so
you're
draining.
Like, what are they doing? Yeah, because you're spending your energy like looking them up from the burner account.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
And then you're like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
What are they up to? And then it becomes habitual.
Yes.
I used to actually, now that I think about it, because I've broken these habits. So I like, but it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Like a couple years ago,
I know.
I would say there was like people I would just like check on their social media, even though so much time had gone by. Like, I'm not even dating that person anymore.
Yeah.
But now they're just part of the circuit of people that I'm checking on.
Dude, I know. In my search history on my burner, it's all people that I just don't really give a fuck about. But it's like, I'm like, I wonder what they're doing.
Do you ever like hate look people up? Like people you don't like?
I mean, I don't really not like anyone, which is like such a problem, you know? Because it's like, Amelia, you should really like not like some people. But like, there aren't very many people that I don't like. And the people that I don't like...
Hate creeping.
The people that I hate creep on are like my friend's ex-boyfriends. And they're all private.
Yeah, the people I hate creep on aren't people that I have a romantic past with. Or like they're not part of like any of my partner's pasts. It's... one of my old bosses.
Oh, yes.
I just like sometimes I'll, like if I want to like feel, you know, sometimes you want to feel like smug, like it's like a combination of like smugness and rage.
Yeah.
Because that job was so traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
It was my job in Las Vegas. So if anyone I work with in Seattle is listening to this, it was like the last job I had in Las Vegas. And I know she's not listening, but she was like the most traumatizing boss I've ever had in my life.
Sometimes I hope that those people are listening. The people that we like really, you're like, this person ruined my life. I want them to know.
Listen. Sometimes there are people you can't trust just based on their eyebrows. And you know, in the year of like 2020, I mean, it's 2024 now. This lady still has tadpole eyebrows. They're tadpoles and they're so far apart.
You see, that's the issue with overplucking. They eventually they just never grow back.
I think she wants them to look that way.
Oh, no.
And then she has the duck nails.
No.
She had the duck nails in like 2016.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I just wanted to talk about that. That's kind of the extent of my thought process. But I was listening in the car on the way home.
I'm going to have to listen on the way home.
I think you'll really like it.
I love Olivia Rodrigo.
Dude, me too. She came out with No Doubt at Coachella.
Oh, that's fun.
I freaked out.
Do you think she crossed paths with Sabrina Carpenter? Is that
certainly she did.
That's the...
The beef, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joshua Bassett was there.
Oh.
And so is Taylor Swift.
I
want to
see a reunion of the three of them.
I know. I want to put them in a room and say.
Let's get Andy Cohen out here.
Absolutely.
To chat with all three of them.
Oh, my God.
And then I want both of the girls to team up and then be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Joshua Bassett.
I love this. That is. I would pay for that.
Girls uniting over hating a man is beautiful.
It really is. That's girlhood.
Only specifically if the man sucks. If he was shitty to both of them.
Absolutely.
He needs to have deserved it.
That is the best sisterhood. Truly.
It is.
Hating the same dude.
Two girls bonding over a man who traumatized them.
Yes. And specifically a man that traumatized them to the point of them not liking each other. And then they team up.
I think that.
Beautiful arc.
Like, that is such an ugly thing, too, that I think that, like, more so, like, younger guys do, like, maybe teenagers and early 20s is, like, pitting girls against each other. Yeah. And, yeah, it's a very toxic mindset.
It is a power play.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's always, like, the worst type of person that does that. I don't think it's very common.
No.
You know? Like, I've never dated anyone who's done that and been like, you should be threatened by my ex. Essentially.
Yeah.
I'm shifting gears a little bit, but in a similar vein. I was hanging out with one of my friends on Friday, and we were talking about one of her friends who, like, would always, like, cry to her about her husband, and then she'd, like, be there to support her, and then she'd be like, I'm gonna leave him. I'm, like, separating from him. Can I stay with you for, like, a week or something? So she's, like, providing a lot of emotional support for this person, and then she just, like, ends up going back to him.
Right.
And I was thinking about how, like, I know we all know at least, like, 2 to 3 women who do that, where, like, they're always fighting with their partner, and then, like, you're providing so much emotional support for them, and then they just, like, go back to them.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it sucks because you put so much, like, care and energy into, like, being supportive and trying to protect them, and it's like they're just throwing it back in your face.
Yeah.
That happened to me in college with one of my friends and her ex. Like, he, like, hooked up with someone else and like was trying to keep it a secret, and it was like a bunch of drama, and then he, like, showed up at our house, like, in the snowstorm to talk to her, and I was like, get that fucker out of our house.
So fucking dramatic. And then loved that it was snowing, so he could, like, be so dramatic about it.
He was totally that type. And then she left with him, and I didn't see her for 3 days, and then she comes back and she's like, are you mad at me? And then I just started crying because I was like, I love you so much, and, like, this, I had to watch this horrible person, like, treat you like shit. I had to watch you, like, go through this heartbreak and betrayal that he caused. And, like, then you just, like, forgive him and disappear with him. And then you don't talk to us and let us know that you're okay for 3 fucking days.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that was, like, a really important moment for our friendship. But, like, there's so many girls that I know, like, who are still in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been thinking about it a lot. And, like, just the older you get, the more you realize, like, that it's, like, it's codependency.
Oh, yeah.
And I think also, like, you start to become addicted to the drama of a relationship like that.
Yeah, like the ups and downs, because like the the downs make the ups feel so good.
Yeah, feel so high. But then like that's literally an abusive relationship. Yeah. And I think that people don't realize, because then like the women will defend it of like, oh, well, I did this too. And my therapist and I have talked about this, where like, If you're in like an emotionally abusive relationship or even physically abusive relationship, you are also likely to have those behaviors too. You are also probably being abusive in a way as well.
Yeah.
And like when I was thinking about my ex, and like it was just, I wouldn't necessarily say it was like emotionally abusive, but it was not good.
Yeah.
And both of us, like I would absolutely participate in like toxic behaviors.
I think a lot of people do when they're younger though, because you just like you don't know better. You're acting on like the impulse of intense emotions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did explain this to my therapist a long time ago, and I probably have talked about it on the podcast before. I felt like I was playing a part. Like, I felt like he wanted me to be blowing up or like I felt like he like wanted me to do that.
To show that how much you cared.
It's such a weird thing to explain. Like, yeah. I felt like he wanted me, yeah, maybe to show that I cared. Or I think that's also like part of his enmeshment codependency with his mom.
I was going to say, because his mom's so dramatic. Yeah.
So I was like, I felt like he just wanted the smoke.
Yeah.
And then I remember we were having an argument, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, I don't want to be fucking doing this. I almost started laughing. I was like, this is ridiculous. And then that was also pretty close to the end of our relationship.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a really bizarre experience. But in relation to this, because this has just like kind of been at the forefront of my mind since that conversation with my friend. And I saw a TikTok of this girl explaining, it's like a stitch with a stitch with a stitch. She was like, I didn't really understand what people meant when they said like settling for a relationship, like when you settle for someone.
Yeah.
And the way you know that you're not is you don't fight. And then the more they explained it, they're like, it's not that you don't have disagreements, but it's when you're with someone who you're actually compatible with, if you have like a disagreement, you're like still going to work together to like fix that totally. And repair it. Like, it's a team effort, and you don't want to fight with someone that, like, you really care about.
Yeah.
You don't want them to be unhappy.
Yeah.
And sure, sometimes you get snippy, but, like, an actual, right. like, issue, you're going to be working together on it.
Yeah, even if it's, like, an argument to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, getting to, like, a, okay, now that we're both calmed, like, cooled off.
Yeah, let's, like, yeah. let's...
work through this.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I think that, like, the people's history with, like, being in relationships where you're, like, fighting so much and it's so, like explosive and
yeah,
like passionate, it makes it feel like if we're not fighting then something's wrong, and it's mm-hmm. like, that's just not healthy to think about it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you're pushing away things that are good because they're not bad. Like, that's wild.
The girl on the TikTok, like, explaining this, she was like, yeah, when I broke up with my ex, like, we had been together for like 5 years, and she's like, but we fought all the time. And she, like, thought that was normal. And she was like, also, he like wanted me to change. Like, I feel like that is something I see a lot too.
Yeah.
Like, people making that mistake of, you're settling with someone because you want to change them.
Yeah.
Or, like, have them change in some capacity. Maybe at the beginning of your relationship, like, the first couple of months, they were really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then their true colors start to show.
That's,
and
the
then
most
you're like,
thing.
You're always like, well, maybe we could get back to that place, like, the first 2 months of our relationship where we were both so happy and everything was easy.
Yeah.
But that's not no. ever going to happen.
Right.
If I don't know. I feel like if you're fighting all the time and it's like only 3 months into your relationship, you shouldn't be together.
Absolutely.
I'm saying this as someone who's made a lot of mistakes in dating.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all do.
Yeah.
So it's like, you live and you learn. But mm-hmm. the worst is when you provide all of that emotional support for your friend and then they end up going back to the relationship. But that emotional support was also in the form of, like, talking mad shit on their boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I have fallen into that so many times. I have so many friends where I'm like they're so sad and they're like, fuck that guy, and I'm like, let me list out all of the things that I hate about them and their mom, and then they end up, like, getting back together with them. It's like,
and then you're like, okay, well, now you know how much I don't like them.
Yeah, but then it's also like, that's their person in their mind, so it's like, I don't want them that to, like, alienate them or, like, feel like they can't talk to me about, like, them anymore. It gets so complicated.
When I was talking to my friend, she hasn't dated in a while, like, her and her ex broke up like 2 years ago, which is, I was like, it feels like you guys broke up forever ago but also not that long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, it was weird. But she was like, yeah, I made it my goal this summer to start dating again, because she's like, I'm just so happy on my own that yeah. I feel like if I don't tell myself I'm gonna start dating, then I'm just like
never going to
do it. And she was explaining to me her mindset is, the men that she dates aren't competing with other men, they're competing with her.
Yes.
And that's so true, because I was thinking about, like, before I was dating Mr. Liz, I was very, very happy
mm-hmm.
doing my own thing. I was just like living my best life, like, because I'm meeting all of my own needs.
Yeah.
And even when I was, like, dating someone, I feel like I forget that we were dating, because I was still so self-efficient and self-dependent that, like, I don't know, we shouldn't have been dating in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, he was just, like, fun and cool, and I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
But
the unmemorable ex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always forget that you dated him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Like, unproblematic but also unmemorable. Yeah. Like, he was just, like, a great guy, but it just wasn't the right fit. We weren't the right match for each other.
Yeah. It's so weird to think about. Like, I completely forget that ever happened.
Yeah. Well, so then I was like, when I was talking to her about that, I was like, yeah, I was really, like, fucking happy. And then I had also gotten to a point, like, when I did start dating Mr. Liz, like, I had some pretty good boundaries with myself of, like, okay, boundaries aren't, like, they're not ultimatums with other people. And that is something like people constantly get confused, is, like, confusing boundaries with being like, controlling another person and their behaviors. Like, well, my boundary is that you can't listen to this song because it triggers me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, actually, a boundary is when I hear this song, I'm going to think about this. Or when I hear this song, I'm going to leave the room.
Yeah.
I had about boundaries with myself of like, I don't want to feel a certain way in a relationship. So if I start to feel this way in a relationship, then I'm going to leave the relationship. And that's like the most important piece. I saw someone explaining too, like, I feel like I should stop referencing TikToks and just say them as my own ideas, you know? Because you adopt them, they do become your own ideas.
Damn.
You know what I mean?
Facts.
Why are we complicating it? The why, like, we spend so much time like trying to understand why someone did something and not thinking enough about how it made us feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're trying to logicize like why someone did something that made us feel a certain way and like trying to like read into all of their behaviors and stuff. But what the most important thing is, how did it make you feel?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why they did it. How did it make you feel when they did that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the boundary you need to draw is, do I want to feel like that?
Yeah.
Because if you don't want to feel like that, then that you need to remove yourself.
Yes.
Not, you need to do this or I will do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought,
like, that's such a good way to think about it, because it really is, that's the only thing that you're in control of.
Mm-hmm. The weaponized therapy speak has definitely made like shitty people even shittier.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you just have the words to describe why you're being shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and defend it.
Yeah, right, right. There are words on it, but then they think that like the work stops there. They're mm-hmm. like, well, it makes sense, so
no, it's like, okay, now you understand it, so now you need to
do something about it.
You need to change
yeah.
that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's something you don't like or is making you unhappy, then the onus is on you to change.
That's way too evolved for way too many people that need to hear it.
I also constantly wonder, like, there's like studies show like only this percentage of people are self-aware, but I'm like, how are you measuring self-awareness?
Yeah.
Can you measure that?
There has to be a way to, if they're saying
they're
it.
They're self-reporting, I wonder, self-awareness?
No, I bet that they're doing like little tests on it, like just like asking questions that there are obvious answers to and seeing how they respond to it. Mm-hmm. Like they could put a bunch of like controls in the room to pretend like they hate them, and then ask the person like, "Are you liked in this room?" Like,
oh,
probably shit like that. That's the psychology major in me jumping out.
Hmm. Let's conduct some studies,
okay?
And then we'll make a second podcast about that
called the Study Hour.
Ooh, the I don't have anything. I'm sorry.
We'll circle back. Yeah. I love how I always say we'll circle back on
and
puns,
then
and then we never circle back on it.
We don't need to.
Maybe we will. No, we need to. But do we? No. But we do need to. Can I plug my chapstick real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I thought that was a glue stick.
It looks like a glue stick, doesn't it?
Yeah. Does it look like a glue stick on purpose?
I don't know.
It has like the orange, like the Elmer's,
I know.
And then the blue. Like,
it's Palmer's cocoa butter formula with vitamin E. Softens, smooths, swivel stick. Say that five times fast. 48-hour moisture. The reason I got it is because it's the highest rated and my lips are wrecked from the desert.
It's the highest rated on
Amazon.
Yeah, I was going to say Amazon.
Yeah. The highest rated on Google is like a $48 chapstick. I'm like, I'm going to lose that in a second.
Google's search engine sucks, first of all.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm the kind of person, I'm not going to buy my skincare products off of Amazon.
That's
because
safe.
It's you don't know if it's going to be like legit. And then also, you don't know how long it's been in the warehouse.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I always check the expiry dates, as the Brits say. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so multicultural. I don't want to brag, but
I feel like I was going to say something else about the line.
Sorry,
of thinking that
I really shifted the topic because I saw my chapstick
and you wanted to put some on
and I wanted to put some on.
Yeah. And that's a good time to plug something you like.
Thank you. What were we talking about?
You know, people going back to shitty relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It really sucks. Is. Because I've also been there. I went back to a relationship that I shouldn't be in so many times. And I didn't tell the last time that I did. I told nobody. Mm-hmm. And then I dealt with it alone until it blew up. And then I had to tell people because I was like, I'm so fucking sad and I can't deal with this alone.
Yeah.
And then I had to explain everything that happened to get to that point because it had been like 6 months of me keeping all this shit secret. That's a really ugly place to be in. And so I feel like that's why I always feel so bad when I talk so much shit on someone's boyfriend that they end up getting back with, because it's like, oh, I remember how that feels. Feeling mm-hmm. like you have nobody you could talk to about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was all self-imposed. Like, I remember I told you when it was all blowing up.
Yeah.
Like 6 months after we had started talking again, and you had like responded with so much like compassion, and I was, and so did Katie when I told her. But it was like leading up to those two conversations, I was just like, they're going to be so disappointed in me and they're going to be so mad. When in reality, it's like your friends just want you to be happy. That's like their team. If they're good friends, their team, your happiness, mm-hmm. you know? And that's why it sucks so much when you get back with your shitty ex, because they just want you to be happy.
And I don't know. It sucks watching someone that you love and care about like willingly go back to someone who fucking sucks, and you're like, is this really better?
Yeah.
Is this better than you being alone?
Mm-hmm.
It like, and not even being alone, is this better than you not giving anybody else another, like anybody else a chance?
Yeah.
Like, or just, I don't know, exploring other options.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I was like, have I ever gone back to anybody? And I definitely have, like with my Las Vegas ex, like we broke up when I moved to Seattle, and then when I went back for Christmas, we like hooked up, and then like we're kind of talking again, but also not. Like he was very much like using me for whatever he wanted. Like, I don't know. It really sucked.
Yeah.
And then it turned more into just like he would randomly text me, and I would try and be getting, I would try to get some kind of closure, and then he would like make it about him being horny and wanting to cheat on his girlfriend.
What a stand up guy.
Yeah.
It's so fucking gross.
Yeah. Because I'm like, okay, I guess I did want to get back together over that like Christmas break or whatever. But when I think about it, I didn't really want to get back together. I just like didn't. I wanted the safety of a relationship that was familiar.
Totally.
So I can understand how like some people will go back to a shitty relationship because it's familiar. And I mean, that's also like part of the human condition is
absolutely
you're going to take something like you'll continue living an experience that is unfulfilling and maybe even like harmful. Because it's familiar to you.
Absolutely.
It's just more comforting to be with something that's familiar than do something that might be better for you that's unfamiliar.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole like the devil you know versus the devil you don't mm-hmm. kind of mindset. It's the momentary discomfort of ending a relationship that's bad for you feels so much worse than the long term discomfort of being in a relationship that's bad for you. So it's mm-hmm. like, well, I want to avoid feeling shitty for like a few weeks because that's just such an immediate pain. It's so hard for our brains to stretch to like, okay, well, when I get on the other side of this, I'm going to feel so much better. Yeah. Because you like the human experience is to like minimize pain as that's much as true. You can. That's just that's a survival instinct.
Heartbreak is such a crushing experience.
It's
too.
Visceral.
It's crazy because you feel so alone in it, even though it's such a universal
yes.
feeling and experience.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, originally that's why you wanted to start a podcast mm-hmm. is like talking about being heartbroken.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean,
it was so isolating.
It is such a universal experience.
Yeah.
And it like I always think that it's amazing like how many people will come out of the woodwork to be supportive when like you're going through a heartbreak.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. It really is, because it's such you feel so alone when it's happening, and then it's like, oh, I'm not.
When I was going through my breakup, like when I had first moved to Seattle, I didn't have any friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like I it honestly like launched my friendships.
Yeah.
Like I made some of the best friends ever, mm-hmm. like because of that breakup.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember the desk I sat at too. I was in like a corner at work and we had broken up and I like started crying at my desk a little bit. And like the two girls who sat in the corner with me, like were immediately like so supportive. And they're like, we actually just went through breakups from long-term relationships too. And I was like, oh, I'm like not alone in this. And yeah. like we all decided to get onto dating apps together and we shared our locations with each other and would tell each other like we're going on dates.
I
and
love then, that sisterhood.
Yeah. And then like another girl on our team, she was like doing fun stuff and I was like, will you invite me to things? Because I like need to keep myself busy. Otherwise I'm going to be like sad and distracted, or like, I'm just gonna be sad and like not have anything to do and like ruminate on this. So, yeah. And then she just invited me to everything and it was fantastic.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I know I've said this before, but like the things that I love the most in my life are a result of like the most painful breakup ever,
mm-hmm.
which is what it sounds like you're saying too. Yeah. It's like, and when you're going
Women
through
are
it,
so awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
yeah. We really are. It's very, we're a very,
like I didn't even know these women and they're like immediately like prepared to be my friend and be supportive.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
yeah, we're communal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love women. I love female support.
Well, and I think it was clear that it was one of those breakups that we're not going to get back together.
Yeah.
And when you know, it's like an ending like that, it's also a lot easier to be supportive of someone who's like, yep, I'm ending this relationship for good.
Yeah.
Like it's not, we're not going to get back together.
Yeah.
And it's hard to make that decision for yourself too.
Yeah.
Because it is heartbreaking, especially if you're kind of blindsided by a breakup. I shouldn't have been blindsided, but I was a little bit.
But I mean, hindsight's in 2020. When you're living it, it's like you're like really like you're living for the hope of it all, as Taylor mm-hmm. Swift, our queen, has said. It really like you're hanging off of like every positive thing that happens and ignoring the negative things. And mm-hmm. then when you get out of it, you look back and you're like, what the fuck was I doing?
Most of it was negative.
Yeah. So what was I?
Well, and you don't realize it until, you know, you've processed way more of it. Like yeah. it takes like a little while.
But that's also the same function of like making sure that you don't feel pain. Like that's another survival instinct of just like mm-hmm. picking out the best of it. And then it's also like when you're looking back on a relationship that was very bad, it's the same thing with like looking back with rose colored glasses and being like only remembering the good things. It's like our brains are like wired to filter out the bad shit.
I don't know. For me, it's more like I couldn't remember any of the good things. It was like only the shitty stuff.
What a blessing.
Well, I remember the things that are like traumatizing.
Yeah.
Well, like those things stand out to you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I wish that the things like when I was healing from my breakup, I really really wanted the bad shit to be more pronounced than they were, because I would have to like look back on like old texts that I sent to be like, oh yeah, this was really fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, because I looked back on it like I miss it, because like you miss the comfort, like we're saying, you miss the comfort of it and the familiarity of it, and you like become nostalgic for like the time in your life rather than the relationship. And but the relationship is such a huge piece of it that you tie the relationship to be like you being nostalgic about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You like hear songs that remind you of it, you like,
that's so true,
smells that remind you of it, but it's the time of your life, it's not the relationship that you miss.
Yeah.
Like I really for a while really really missed my early 20s, and I was conflating that with missing my ex.
Mm-hmm.
And like looking back on it, it's just like, oh no, it was just like he was such a prominent piece of it. But
yeah. And then you're like, oh, my early 20s were so great because I didn't have any real responsibilities.
Yeah.
And then like you live in like a walkable community.
Yeah.
Where all your friends are your neighbors.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Going to real life after like having a college experience is really fucking hard.
Yeah, it sucks.
It does suck.
Being an adult is tiring.
That's why when I did move here for the job where we met, it felt like college part two to me.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was like, oh my God, I can walk a block. Not even. I'm like 2 minutes away from the grocery store. I can like use public transportation and mm-hmm. it's clean.
Yeah.
And like I would get awful road rage in Vegas. So it would ruin my mood.
Oh God.
So like not having to drive like dramatically increased my happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like we were that job too. Like we would like go on trips all together and
yeah,
like
everyone
we're drinking a lot.
I mean, yeah, we did drink
a lot.
Anytime I hang out with our old coworkers, I am hungover the next day.
Yeah, I have to like tell myself not to drink because like it really there's something about that group of people that just makes you
you're just they're all fun. So and you're like, I want to keep shots. Drinking.
Yeah.
You're like, why not?
Yeah, sure.
Let's reminisce.
I don't have anything important to do.
Yeah.
I have a lot of important
Start drinking at like 3 p.m. in the office.
Oh my God, it was the best.
Crack a beer. It was so fun.
People would have like handles in their drawers.
That was one person.
Yeah.
It was only one person.
Yeah.
And it's true. Because she's particular about her vodka.
And she should be. And I love that for her.
I love that she knows what she likes.
I lived too much of my life thinking that Tito's was like top shelf. And I was embarrassing about it.
Isn't it pretty good, though?
It's Tito's fine.
Is one of the better options.
It's a very stable, secure option. But it's not like how I was treating it.
Yeah.
I would be like, what kind of vodka do you want? I'd be like, Tito's. I'm feeling like
you were acting like Grey Goose.
Exactly. Like
they come out shining a light under your bottle of Tito's.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they have my name on a board. Yeah.
We'll get Grey Goose.
Yeah.
bring out the Tito's. Bring out the Tito's handmade vodka. Because in your early 20s, you're like, you're drinking Smirnoff.
Yeah.
And Smirnoff.
And Burnett's.
Smirnoff is what you're drinking at like 21. That's nicer than what you were drinking when you couldn't legally drink, which was whatever was in the plastic bottle.
Oh my God. Yeah. Burnett's. Svedka. That was like sitting out in the sun all day.
We didn't have that. We had Popov.
Oh my God.
Popov and something else.
These like Russian names. For these vodka brands, what does my brother drink? Svedka.
Yeah, Svedka's
no
nasty.
Svedka, is it Svedka?
I think that's Swedish.
No, what does he drink?
Svedka is in
Stoli,
a blue glass bottle. Yeah, Stoli is nasty.
He loves Stoli. Stoli on the rocks. Sometimes Stoli without anything in it.
Mm-hmm. Dude, drinking vodka on its own is wild.
Yeah, it's a move.
And sipping it.
Yeah,
I've only done that once, and it was in Skagway, Alaska.
Skagway sounds like a derogatory term for like
it's teeny
like
tiny
the red light district,
itty bitty, and like I went on this Alaskan cruise, and I'm a big cruise hater. Cruises are full of like the oldest people ever,
and like
and
norovirus.
No shade. Yes, I also got norovirus on the very first cruise I went on. I was like 13. So that was a terrible first experience.
God.
So then my second cruise was this, or I guess it was my third cruise. My third cruise was this Alaska cruise with my grandparents and my parents and my brother. And my brother and I are like the only like young people that aren't children on this whole cruise. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
But when we would stop at these places, like there's a lot of these gift shops that are owned by the cruise lines. That's why they all sell the same shit.
Oh.
And it's like not like good stuff either. Right. It's like just trinket trash.
Yeah. Keychains.
Yeah. And then so like, you know, me being like a cool millennial. No. I'm looking up like the local breweries or like just local stuff that isn't like, you know, owned by the cruise lines.
Yeah.
And then asking the locals who like move there during the summer, like, where do you guys go? Like, what do you guys like to do? Or where do you shop? So
yeah.
I was looking up like, yeah, just like local things. And there was a guy who had a distillery, and it was like a really like, it was a really good distillery.
That's
so my
fun.
Brother and I walked there while like, you know, my parents and my grandparents are like, we're tired. We're going to go back to the cruise ship. And then I'm like, I'm going to go to this distillery with my brother.
I mean, that's a cool thing to do. Like kind of live like a local. I don't know. That's the best way to see a place.
And it was such a small area. It was like a 10-minute walk to get there. And like, that's the whole town.
Damn.
But it was beautiful. So if you're ever in Skagway.
Skagway is
you can
so-
check out the distillery.
I love that name. Oh, it's because it sounds like slag.
Oh, yeah. Skag.
Like, why does that sound so mean?
Skag. Skaggy slag. A Skagway. And then, yeah, it was a lot easier in Juneau to find like local stuff that isn't cruise line owned. Honestly, the best crepe I ever had was in Juneau, Alaska.
Oh, dude, I fucking love crepes.
And it was like a savory crepe. My mom and I ordered two because we were like,
I don't think I've ever had a savory crepe. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, I love savory crepes.
Because I like live for a Nutella crepe.
Like, I do love those. Yeah. But if it's too rich and it's not like something I'm in the mood for, having the kind of like sweetness of a crepe, but with like the savoriness of like cheese and vegetables.
Yeah.
Or like a breakfast crepe that's like, you know, cheese, eggs, and bacon. Like, that shit slaps.
Oh, yum. When I first started dating Frank, he got a crepe maker for the first time I slept over because he said to his
crepe maker?
He said to his best friend, he's like, I just want to date a girl that makes me want to make them crepes in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, and then I started dating you and I want to make you crepes. Yeah. And so he made me crepes, Nutella crepes with fruit. It was the best thing in the world.
That sounds like a dream.
It was, oh my God, now I want crepes.
Well, when I think about, so circling back to our earlier conversation of like when you're with someone you're actually compatible with, you don't fight.
Yeah.
And like your disagreements are productive.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about you and Frank and I thought about me and Mr. Liz, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, we're pretty productive and like considerate when we do have a disagreement.
Right. You hear each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you were saying too, like getting genuinely upset, but then like taking a break and revisiting and like fixing it or whatever, or like coming to a resolution of sorts.
I've never brought something up to Frank I've never brought something up to Frank and he hasn't made me feel like so heard and held.
It's been so interesting watching you go through this experience too of like dating someone who you're like actually compatible with, who like listens to you and like values your opinion because he like genuinely loves and cares about you.
It's so new.
Yeah, like because you're prepared for it to be a blow up argument.
Yeah.
You're prepared for your point of view and your feelings to be dismissed.
Yes.
Or like told that you're wrong for feeling a feeling. And you're like, well, no, I feel this feeling. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't choose to feel this way.
Yeah.
So
that's
kind of the whole thing about feelings is you can't control that you feel something.
It's so fucking true. And it sucks that you get so conditioned to
like, you're immediately prepared to be like, I'm going to have to explain this.
And that's why every single time I bring up anything to Frank, I start crying because I'm just like, this is going to be a thing. And it's like completely involuntary. It sucks.
That's literally what I used to do, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I had to basically train Mr. Liz pretty like early on when I would come to him about something that like maybe bothered me. Like, I'm going to start crying and just pretend I'm not.
Yeah, that was helpful.
Just pretend I'm not
for me
crying.
To tell Frank that too. Yeah.
Like, this is just, it's like that, is it Bryce Dallas Howard? She's like, and I'm crying and like, I don't feel any, I'm not panicking. Like, it's just my eyes are crying and I like.
That's how it feels.
My voice will start to shake. And
and then when they start to, when they call out, when they ask if you're crying, like, are you okay? It just makes you cry more.
Yeah. You're like, is everything okay?
It's like, no. I don't know. Just pretend I'm not crying.
I love when Mr. Liz is like, are you okay, cutie? And then I'm like, I just feel like crying.
Yeah. God, sometimes a good cry really just hits.
Like, I just, I'm sad because I had a bad day. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I have a cry that's waiting for me.
Ugh.
I know it's
You're
going
to feel so good when you do it.
I think I'm just too tired.
Yeah. Wow.
And I also, there's nothing I like specifically want to cry about. It's just like, I am so exhausted and I've been so like busy that the stress relief of a cry sounds so nice.
I hope that you get to experience that soon.
Me too.
I hope that something doesn't tip you off. I hope it just happens.
I'm hoping that it's triggered by like watching like a movie or something.
Watch Soul again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll do it. Yeah. Yeah.
We're at 57 minutes.
Do you want to wrap?
Yeah.
Both of us are so asleep. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I want to wrap.
Yeah, I want to wrap.
Yeah, I do.
I want to go to bed early.
Yes, indeed. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your paciente with me today.
I missed you. Like,
I missed you.
Seeing you is always re-energizing for me.
I love you.
I love you too.
Let's hang out this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you had said that and I realized like later, like I didn't even respond to you saying like, if you maybe want to like do something, like hang out. I'm not doing anything this weekend. Let's hang out.
Cool. Frank's leaving me, y'all. He has friends.
Nerd.
Nerd.
What kind of loser has friends?
Dork. Yeah.
You don't need friends when you have a girlfriend.
Right. Who do you know besides me? I'm waiting for an answer.
Like, even though we live together and I see you all the time.
Yeah. It's not enough.
How dare you? It's not going to be close enough unless we literally join bodies.
Right. You better tattoo me on the inside
physically,
of your eyelids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We physically become one.
Yeah. We morph into each other.
That's
like an
amoeba.
That's
the only way we'll be close enough.
Right. And even then,
that's
do
how
better.
I feel sometimes when I'm holding my cats. I'm
oh
like, I wish that I could absorb you. That's how much I love you.
I totally feel that. Like, this is how Polly's feeling with you right now. She's like, I just want to be a part of this.
I feel the same way.
Oh, Auntie Diz.
It's such a good feeling. Like, especially with a pet, like you love them so much and you're snuggling with them and you're like, I could just eat you right up.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've ever felt cuteness aggression. Is with my cats.
I understand that they're so fucking cute. Meows can feel when I'm about to enter that zone and she leaves.
She's like, all right.
She's like, I feel the energy in here shifting and I don't like it. Also, I was going to ask ChatGPT.
Mr. Liz, I was like, what should we talk about today, Mr. Liz? And then he was like, I'm going to ask ChatGPT to write a script. I'll have to send it to you.
Is it good?
Yeah, he gave the prompt. It was like, white upper class or upper middle class women left leaning with a podcast about sex and dating. And it was so fucking funny.
Oh my God, I'm so
and,
excited
like,
to read that.
Cliche and annoying. And I was like, yeah, that probably is what we sound like.
I would love to record that one day, maybe next week.
I'll have him send it and then
we could do it back and forth.
We'll do a bit. Yeah, he was like, do you want to be host one or host two? And I was like, I'll be host one. And it was literally like, exactly. If we,
I would have picked
having
host
a conversation.
Too. That's so funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, I asked ChatGPT to pick a genre of music for our outro. It's kind of
we're
like from
it.
A hat.
Okay, yeah,
but it's
it
not.
Is.
It's from a chat.
Chat from a hat.
Oh my God. And he picked jazz.
Jazz.
Yeah.
Boo ba da ba ba. Skiddle deep beep.
We love you.
Doodle
children. I don't know why this turned into.
Beep, bop, bop. You got a scat.
No. It turned into West Side Story. And oh, yeah. Suddenly a phrase. Okay.
You have to snap when you do scatting.
It's true. I actually don't know. I don't want to do jazz a disservice.
I feel it. I thought we just did it.
Okay.
That was enough for me.
Cool. Well, great. I hope you liked it.
On that note, all of you guys should watch the scat skit by Key and Peele.
Oh my God.
It's one
yes.
of my favorites.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
Skittle dee 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 dee.